So how to prepare for the black swan? As you know, the black swan is the extreme outlier event. It is also the event that is unpredictable. It's unforeseen. One of the hallmarks of a black swan is it's only explicable in hindsight. So how do you prepare for something which you don't know what it's going to be, when it's going to come, what it's going to affect, and how outsized of an impact that it's going to have? Some sort of reductionist reasoning would say, well, you can't prepare for these things, and therefore the nihilist within you comes out and you say, so therefore I'm not going to even try and prepare for it because, well, there's nothing I can do. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how badly it's going to affect me, and I don't even know when it's going to come. And true, that is a rational way to think about it. However, Nissim does offer us a path towards preparation for a black swan, and it ties heavily within anti-fragility. But basically, what is the point of anti-fragility? What is the thesis of anti-fragility? It is improving from disorder. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Why does becoming more anti-fragile make you better off in the face of a black swan? Well, to give a very technical example, if you have an investment portfolio that is very sophisticated and hedged against some extremely low-risk event, and then that extremely low-risk event happens, and you don't know exactly what it is, but you can be sure that massive black swans have a detrimental effect to markets generally. I mean, uncertainty causes volatility, and black swans cause uncertainty. By having a portfolio that's been taken into account anti-fragile, you might adversely benefit from a black swan, for instance. That's sort of preparation in a technical sense via investing for a black swan. So, but how do you prepare for a black swan? Because how do you survive a black swan? And it's part of becoming more anti-fragile. The key to that is always increasing your threshold for disorder. So if you remember in anti-fragile, every time you go to the gym and lift weights, you steadily over time lift more and more each time because you increase your threshold for disorder. You can't bicep curl 100 kilos the first time you go in, but after a few years, and maybe a bit of juice, you can bicep curl 100 kilos no problem. So basically, Nissim quite reductively instructs us to go to parties. So this is Nissim's answer to how to survive a black swan. But what is within go to parties? Because obviously it doesn't mean go to parties, but what he really means is increase your exposure to serendipity, which means increasing your exposure to the upside of a black swan. And it also means increasing your exposure to negative black swans and also smaller negative disorders, therefore increasing your threshold to disorder time and time again. So go to parties. It can be surmised as do more things, have more experiences, increase your exposure to serendipity. Because if you do, for example, go to parties and meet a lot of different people, you have a lot of negative interactions, which teaches you more about human nature, increases your network, maybe warns you against things to avoid. But then you also have a lot of positive interactions, teaches you things about the world you didn't know before, perhaps introduces you to new ideas that you never even considered. Best case scenario, offers you legitimate opportunity for business or for life. Maybe you meet your partner there. Maybe this gives you a whole nother sense of happiness. But ultimately, the reductive instruction to just go to parties is the true path to both anti-fragility, but also then to how to survive the black swan. So expose yourself to many different experiences. Continually move up your threshold of disorder and increase your exposure to serendipity. Learn whatever you can. Don't burn bridges. Follow your own tastes, because nothing is more authentic than doing what you actually inherently want to do. We all have different natures. You know, I'm not sure if this is a definitively said yes or no, but I'm firmly of the belief that we all have very inherent natures, and obviously nurture is a huge part of who you become and a massive influence on molding a person. You can take someone with a certain nature and then experience them out of it, but I think that's a very outlier and also just horrific process that some unfortunate people go through. Most of us have a nature and then experience kind of teeters it a little bit, but we're sort of steadline on our nature throughout. So follow your own tastes. basically. Like, do what is within your nature. If you're an extremely cerebral, high intelligent person who doesn't get energy from interacting with others, then following your own tastes would be to just become an expert in technical fields. You get energy from research, and therefore a lot of your exposure to new experiences might be within books. Whereas if you're someone who's more like myself, who gets a lot of energy from actually interacting with people and talking to people and being out and exposing myself to new experiences, then I need to follow my own tastes, and that needs to be my path to increasing chances to serendipity. It's true that within, I mean, if you taking those two sides of the spectrum, both of them can expose you equally to serendipitous opportunities, and both of them will survive you a black swan. But that's just Nassim's point to authenticity, which is obviously such an ever-present theme throughout the inserto. But follow your own tastes. And then this is Nassim's trader coming out. He says, keep 90% of your wealth in the safest, lowest risk vehicle available, and then frivolously spend the rest on high-risk pursuits. That's the anti-fragile portfolio right there, because as you might remember, or maybe you haven't done it, but mediocre stand versus extreme stand, major theme of the Black Swan, outsized returns come at the tail ends, okay? And a 10% investment that receives an outsized return will blow out of the water a return on your 90% low risk investment. Okay, so very anti-fragile portfolio. You don't run the risk of blowing up, because 90% of your wealth, the major majority of your wealth, is in extremely low risk safe investment vehicles. But then you expose that 10% to the extremely high risk investment vehicles, offering the chance of major upside. Have your ideas and knowledge tested. This is also a very important one. This goes along with going to parties. This, you know, you can't go to a party and then just be a statue at the side of the room. Part of going to parties means being authentic, saying what you believe, allowing it to be challenged. And ultimately, the one true path to surviving a black swan: do more failing, do less averaging, stress the mind and the body. So, how to survive a black swan? Become more anti-fragile. And why does becoming more anti-fragile survive you a black swan? Because black swans are, by their very nature, impossible to predict, only explicable in hindsight. So you don't know where a black swan's coming from, what it's going to do, and how outsized of an impact it's going to have in your life. And the only way to prepare for such an infinite realm of possibilities is to become a person who improves from disorder, and that is anti-fragile. So, the key to surviving a black swan? Become anti-fragile. All right, cheers, guys. Again, I know I'm saying this at the end of every episode, but I just want to really hammer the point home best I can. If any of you know Nassim, or if Nassim is listening by some fucking miracle of a chance, this is an audition for me to read Anti-Fragile, okay? As I see right now, there's only an Italian version on Audible. Take a risk, Nassim. Put an Australian voice, add some Australian flavor to the inserto. Let me read Anti-Fragile. Cheers, guys. If you're interested in any of the other work that I'm doing, you'll find it in the show notes. And you're all legends. Pump your juice in the algorithm. 5 stars. You know the drill. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.